So Pastor Bill asked me a while back if I would do the message this weekend. I said, I'm way too busy. I said, I got the running festival yesterday. I got the Navy football game. I got Nikki this weekend. I got a business trip coming up. He said, well, you know, I understand. And then I started to feel bad. And I called him. I said, okay. Actually, I saw him at church afterwards. I said, I'd really love it if you could get somebody else, but if you can't, I'll do it. And he said, well, Jim, in his way, you know, he said, just pray about it. And he said, but, you know, it sounds like busyness might be a good subject. So if you don't know me very well, buckle up. Some people might suggest that I'm a control freak. But honestly, I'm not. I do not need to be in control. However, I very much like to know that things are under control. And if there's anything I can do to influence that, I want to try. I guess you could say I'm more of a planner, not quite as much as my oldest daughter, who, while Kathy and I were on our honeymoon 3 years ago in Maine, contacted me to see if we could discuss her wedding, which was about a year away when we returned. I said, sure, whatever. And then she wanted to pin down a specific time and date, to which I responded, we're on our honeymoon, and I really don't want to think about this right now, but pencil us in. Thankfully, she knows this trait of hers, and she's very self-deprecating about it. She'll even apologize, and she'll say, I'm sorry, I just like to know when and what's going to happen. But given where she's been, who can fault her? At 15, when she was supposed to be enjoying high school and thinking about college, her second sister was struck with brain cancer, and in an instant, she was essentially thrust into being the surrogate mother for her two younger siblings. While her mother and I focused the majority of our efforts on trying to save Mackenzie. And so it went for the next 5 years. Not to diminish the people in this community and others who jumped in, and family who helped us, and even members of this congregation, to which I was yet to be a member, but still. For me, while I'm essentially an optimist, I'm unapologetically driven. I want to know how bad a situation might possibly get, so I can plan for that worst case, and then I want to do whatever I can to affect the outcome. Some of my family members and possibly a few friends would probably say that I'm a little too intense. And I could probably apologize for that, but it probably wouldn't be very sincere. Perhaps it's the Eagle Scout in me, Annapolis, flight school, experience as a naval aviator, coupled with my years at Intel, which is a very driven company. But I suspect it was rooted a bit more deeply in my childhood. I wasn't your typical firstborn. I was the rule bender and the boundary pusher. This one might sound a little funny for church, but this paints the perfect picture of me as a teenager. I was always working and earning money and trying to buy stuff, and I would talk my mother into paying for things with her credit card or with a check, and then I would repay her. So when I was about 14, there was something that I thought that I wanted, and I knew the perfect way to get it. So I waited till my mother was on the phone, and I asked her if she wouldn't mind writing a check for the subscription to Playboy magazine I wanted. And she agreed, of course, because she was on the phone. And so I made sure I got home from school and intercepted the mail. Until that weekend, my grandparents stayed with us. My mom was an only child, so she really wasn't prepared well for me. But my grandfather, her dad, brought in the mail and said, wow, I'm really impressed or surprised that you let your son get this magazine. So I'm pretty sure she wrote a letter to Hugh Hefner. Shockingly, my parents told me I would always take the lead as a child, and I would sell anything that could be sold. Whether it was the two paper routes I had, or being the organizer of trips to rock concerts in L.A., I would always talk my mother into buying the tickets and then sell them to my friends. But regarding control, my instinct is to take the lead if it's not clearly in hand. I don't like to sit around and ponder what might be. I generally act on it, or I'll let it go. Am I impatient? I won't deny it. In most situations, I feel compelled to do something to move the ball downfield, if I can. But I maintain it doesn't have to be me that's doing it. If someone on my team at work is taking a course of action, and I know they're doing it, and I'm generally in agreement with it, then I, by any means, I don't need to be in charge. And it doesn't need to be my idea. And this is where I draw the distinction and reject the notion of being a control freak. One of my favorite quotes is from a plaque that was on the desk of my favorite president, Ronald Reagan, in the Oval Office. And I have a replica of it on my desk as well. It says, "There's no limit what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit." Now, you may have heard of me speak of this before, but there were numerous times throughout McKenzie's treatment that I wanted to know the plan. What was going to happen next? What was the next treatment path? What were the possible outcomes? And how would we proceed after that? I would then plan for that mentally, and in virtually every case, over the next 5 years, it seemed that whatever I had planned for would not come to pass. And I found this tremendously frustrating. The doctors always explained to me, when I pressed them for answers, that it was hard for them to say because every cancer is different. And that sounded like a cop-out to me. I'm like, you guys are the professionals. But in hindsight, I now understand that every cancer is different because every person is different. I sometimes wish they would have phrased it in that manner, because to me, that's a clarifying point. Everyone who has ever had cancer is just a data point. Certainly, trends can be gleaned from the data, but you can't predict the future with it. I always wanted to know her odds of survival, or probably I actually meant cure. They told us 85%, but the doctors were quick to point out, you don't know where you are in the percentages. Are you in the 85? Are you in the 15? So feel free to plan all you want, but can you release control? Guess what? Control's an illusion. You don't have it anyway. However, I maintain there's a vast difference between planning and worrying, setting goals, and absolutely expecting things to go the way you envision, and getting crushed when they don't. So Jesus said this in Matthew 6, 25 through 27, and 33 to 34. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your life? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day has enough trouble of its own." So on busyness, people always ask about how busy I am. All the travel I do for work and that Kathy and I do for pleasure. Some of my buddies here at Calvary, some of them sitting right here, right now, say, "Do you ever work?" Well, it might sound like bragging. The truth is, nobody at my work would ever ask that question. Many would say that I set the standard for multitasking and getting things done. Concerning work, God wants us to be busy, and he expects us to work hard in all that we do, as if he were our supervisor or master. And here are a few proof points. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." From Proverbs 16, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." Ephesians 6, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people." And from Ephesians 5, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So considering travel and activities on the weekend, even though Kath loves the outdoors as much as I do, biking, kayaking, camping, sailing, running. Well, okay, not the running part. Sometimes she mentions it would be nice if we didn't have something to do this next coming weekend. But the fact is, and Mackenzie taught me this, we do not know how much time we have. And whether or not she knew it, from a young age, she lived at full throttle. And honestly, that's now me. I'm on or off. All in or not at all. I don't even bother. I want to experience all I can. Travel to the beach and the mountains on adjoining weekends like we recently did. And partake in the majesty of God's amazing creation. I want to see anything I can see. I want to volunteer for the organizations that matter to me. And I want to visit anyone that I care about. Some more biblical backup from James 4. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And from Proverbs 27, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. A priest once told me, live in the moment, not for the moment, because that's hedonism. Until that moment, I probably wouldn't have drawn the distinction between the two words, in and for. So that brings us to choices. You can choose how you feel about any situation and whether you will react or respond. We teach in Kairos Prison Ministry that any action with a reaction is what you get, but an action with a response, implying a thought in between, is what you want. I must admit, I wasn't always this way. I've had some serious regrets along the way, things that I didn't do when I had the chance, and those opportunities are gone forever. I've had several people that worked for me over the last number of years in different companies that had cancer, and I believe there was a reason they worked for me and not somebody else in the company. One of my friends that I hired, and he was a friend, he developed cancer, and he was in the hospital, and you know how it is with cancer, you're in, you're out. He asked me if I'd come visit him that weekend. I was really busy. I had a meeting on Friday that he probably would have ran, and there was a meeting at the office on Tuesday that he would have ran. I didn't get to it. And that Tuesday, we were having this meeting that he would have led, and I got a call on my cell phone from his cell phone. I thought, cool, he's calling into the meeting. But it was his sister telling me that he'd passed. So here it is. If you think of doing it, visiting someone, talking to or giving a blessing bag to a suspected homeless person, calling an old friend who you know is going through a hard time, don't push it off. To do later. Do it now. Now, I don't want you to think I'm too over the top on this, but I don't think I could adequately articulate how passionately I feel about this. At the risk of sounding morbid on a Sunday morning, are you ready to meet Jesus today? How would you spend this day differently if you knew it was your last? How about if you knew it was the last for your spouse or your child? Or your parent? As many of you know, I lost my third daughter 8 years ago this past Friday after a 5-year battle with cancer. It was a long road. But what you may not know is that my wife lost 2 of her 3 brothers instantaneously in a plane crash with no warning while she was a freshman in college. And while I was not there and I did not know her at the time, my understanding is that her third brother was working at the airfield and witnessed the crash. And then Kathy received the call, and had to tell her mother. By my sophomore year in college, I had already lost, tragically, 2 friends from high school, one in a car accident, and one who was carjacked and murdered. The next year, my best friend in the world, the one I was a soulmate with, was diagnosed with brain cancer, ironically the exact same type that would claim Kenzie 25 years later. The news of that friend's cancer nearly crippled me. He was on a Navy scholarship at VMI, and he was going to be a Marine Corps officer. He was way too strong and full of life to be struck by such a thing. And at that age, I figured cancer only impacted old people. While I'd been a lifelong Episcopalian, I didn't really know Jesus. But that weekend, I drove from Annapolis to the National Cathedral And I just cried and prayed to the Lord to save him because it was all I could think of to do. I listened to Sirius XM satellite radio in the car. And the morning guy on the contemporary Christian station called The Message is a guy named Doug Hanna. And he's got a lot of pearls of wisdom. So, backing up a bit, the thing I didn't tell you about preparing this is that after Pastor Bill asked me to pray about it, the Tuesday I was driving into work, I started dictating the bullet points to this while I was driving. And I heard Doug Hanna say this. He said, prayer sometimes changes things, and other times it changes us. I'm going to say that again. Prayer sometimes changes things, and other times prayer changes us. So in summary, I think there are certainly times when we are busy with mundane or mandatory tasks, and while we may not be able to control very much, we actually have a lot more choices than we believe. So I'd like you to ponder some choices regarding your busyness this week. Who will you call or visit to let them know how much they mean to you? How will you glorify God today? How will you show appreciation for the gifts that he has bestowed upon you? And how can you be a blessing to someone today?